Well, good afternoon, everyone. If you're visiting today for the first time, a warm word of welcome to you. That hymn was chosen for Harry Jeffcoat. It's been a while since I've sung that hymn, and it's a beautiful hymn. Now, we are almost halfway through a series on the nine fruits of the Spirit, and today we come to kindness. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And then some verses from Proverbs 11:17. A man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. Proverbs 14:21, whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. Proverbs 14:31, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. And Proverbs 19:17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. And then a beautiful text in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 63, I will recount the steadfast love, or the Hebrew word is chesed, and it is, in the King James, it is rendered loving kindness. And we'll come back to that in a moment. I will recount the steadfast love, or the loving kindness of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel, that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love, or abundance of his loving kindness. Now, there are a few more influential theologians from the 5th century to the 16th century than Augustine, St. Augustine. Augustine came from Hippo in what today would be Algiers on the north coast of Africa. His early life was profligate. He was very promiscuous. He didn't become a believer until he was 32. And it is often thought that the only reason he became a believer was the continual prayers of his mother, Monica. At 17, he left Hippo for Carthage to study. Carthage was a metropolitan city in the Roman Empire, and a 17-year-old by himself in a major city, you can imagine. He lived with a concubine, but that was just a part of it. There was a child, a son, that was born called Adeontidas. When his mother arranged for him to marry an important woman a little later. This concubine was sent home, and it is said that it broke his heart. Augustine moved in what is known in history as Manichaeism, and among other things, the Manichaeists believed that Jehovah in the Old Testament was a demon. And it wasn't until he was encouraged at the age of 30 to move from Carthage to Milan in Italy to teach, and to teach rhetoric and philosophy, that he came under the wing of the bishop of Milan, a man by the name of Ambrose. And Ambrose was and remains, in the estimation of many, one of the great preachers of all time. And Augustine sat under his preaching. And later in life, Augustine would write to him to thank him. And what he said about Ambrose was, it wasn't your great preaching so much that moved me. It was your kindness. It was your kindness. Now, let's think first of all of the kindness of God. The kindness of God. And as I was saying, and you can look at Isaiah 63 and verse 7, for example, this word steadfast love, this Hebrew word chesed, it occurs over 250 times in the Old Testament. It's God's name. It's the name that he gave to Moses when Moses asked him for a name to tell the Israelites that they were going to be brought out of captivity in Egypt. What is your name? Moses asked. And his name was Chesed. And that name of God, we sometimes call it Yahweh. God is full of loving kindness. Full of loving kindness. Miles Coverdale, in the 1400s, the late 1400s, translated this Hebrew word chesed as loving kindness, as depicting something that's at the very heart of God himself. Think of the 23rd Psalm. Goodness and mercy, and it's the word chesed. Goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've told you this before, but I had a dear friend who's now in glory, a preacher in Scotland, and he had been a farmer, a sheep farmer, for most of his life. He was called into ministry very late in life, in his 50s, had to go to a seminary, and so he was in his late 50s before he even began to preach, and he was an extraordinary preacher. Very down to earth, big man, and I had the privilege of hearing him when I was a college student and a retreat that I went on where he did most of the preaching. And he was telling a story, and he tells the story in a book that he published on the 23rd Psalm, that he had two border collies, sheepdogs. And you've watched border collies, going to fetch the sheep and bringing them through a gate and so on, and they're extraordinary, agile and clever and so on. And he called these two dogs goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. You find it again in Psalm 136. A refrain, his steadfast love, his loving kindness endures forever. And the psalm has 26 verses, and each of those verses has that refrain, his loving kindness endures forever. Titus 3 and verses 4 and 5. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. God is kind to us. He's dealt kindly with us. We can say that even in the midst of trial and difficulty, that he is kind to us. He doesn't give us what we deserve. What would we deserve? We deserve to be banished into outer darkness. Our sins would condemn us. But God has shown kindness to us. He sent his Son to die for us, to shed his blood for us, to atone for our sins, to propitiate his holy wrath, to bring us to himself, to bring us into his family, that we might be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. God is kind to us. Think of all the things that God has done for you in the years that you've been a Christian. Yes, there are dark places. There are trials. There are things that happened that you wish had not. But you trusted in the Lord. You handed that burden over to him. He gave you a peace that passes all understanding. He's provided for you all that you need, not necessarily all that you want, all that you desire, but all that you need, he has given to you. Every day you can see the kindness of God. There's a beautiful example of kindness in the story of Ruth, that little book of Ruth. A famine in Bethlehem. Naomi and Elimelech leave with their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They go outside of the land of the covenant into Moab. And they're there. I guess Naomi thought they were going for a few months, 6 months, a year. And they were there for 10 years. And then, first of all, Elimelech, the husband, died. The two boys marry. And then the two boys are dead. And in that extraordinary providence, Naomi has lost everything. Her husband, her two sons. There's no government check for her in Moab. Her only course of action was to go back to her people. And now that her sons, who had married in Moab, Moabitesses, that's the reason she had stayed. But now that they're dead, the only recourse she has is to go back to her family and to beg for food and shelter, which the family would have been obliged to provide her. And you remember that beautiful moment at the crossroads where she bids her two daughters-in-law return. And you remember that Naomi is told by Ruth, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more If anything but death parts me from you. And so Naomi and Ruth make their way to Bethlehem, and there is a kinsman redeemer obligated under levirate law to marry Ruth. But there is another kinsman redeemer who wants to marry Ruth not because of obligation, but because of love. And Boaz commends Ruth for all that she had done for Naomi. And Ruth expresses her gratitude to Boaz for all the kindness that he had shown her. When Ruth tells Naomi about Boaz, Naomi says, he has not stopped showing his kindness, his chesed, to the living and the dead. And it leads to marriage. Acts of kindness on the threshing floor, giving to Ruth abundance of grain, more than he was ever obligated to do. It led, of course, to the birth eventually of King David, and eventually to the birth of King David's greater king, the Lord Jesus himself. Random acts of kindness that led to the gospel. It's a beautiful example of kindness in the Old Testament. Then thirdly, true kindness is a generous orientation of our hearts towards others, to friends as well as enemies. It is to demonstrate Christ-likeness, to be kind. When you're driving, and some idiot has tried to overtake and now realizes that he needs to cut in front of you, be kind. Come on in. It'll make you live longer. What does Paul say in Ephesians 4? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. Proverbs 21, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life and righteousness and honor. Now let me say that kindness, like all the fruits of the Spirit, kindness is a habit. As all aspects of holiness are habits, you break old habits, old patterns of behavior, and form new ones, so that kindness becomes a reflex. Sin is a habit. It's a reflex action that we perform. John Chrysostom, one of the great preachers in the ancient church, said that to be free from a bad habit does not mean that we have formed a good one. We need to take the further step of forming good habits and dispositions to replace what we left behind. What's the opposite of kindness? What's the antonym of kindness? Selfishness? thoughtlessness, mercilessness, indifference, hostility, meanness. Search your heart. Are we ever guilty of any of those? Then heed the New Testament once again. Be kind to one another. I get so caught up with things in my head that I often walk past people and don't acknowledge them. It's not an act of kindness. So I repent in dust and ashes if I've ever done that to you, and I probably have. What are examples of kindness? Who can I thank today? Who can I thank today? Somebody you want to text or call on the phone or write a letter to and say, you know, I've been meaning to thank you. An act of kindness. How can I express appreciation for someone today? Someone who does things for you. And it's become so routine that you've forgotten to say, you know, I really appreciate you doing that. How can I make someone's day better today? With a random act of kindness. Christopher Wright, who's a theologian, current, has a book on the fruits of the Spirit, and he tells the story of Richard Wurmbrand. I'm sure you remember, some of you will remember Richard Wurmbrand. He was a prisoner of war for his faith in Romania during the communist uprising in Romania. We're talking in the 60s or so. And he was systematically tortured in his cold prison cell that he occupied with several other prisoners. And one day, after several hours of torture, he took his only possession that he had, a blanket, and lay on the floor because it was cold. And then he saw one of the other prisoners with no blanket, and he was cold. And he thought to himself, if that was Christ, would you give him your blanket? Later, when Wurmbrand was released and came over to the West, he wrote a book with that title. If that was Christ, would you give him your blanket? Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit that we all probably need to work on. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We are convicted by acts of thoughtlessness that we ignore and fail to appreciate others and what they do for us. So help us today to do an act of kindness because we love you and because, moreover, you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.